Blog Talk Radio.
Thought that I'd be weak,
but you made me strong.
They thought that I would crumble,
but they were so wrong.
You held my hand and
encouraged me to stand.
When they said I couldn't do it, I heard you say,
you said yes, you
can.
Gotta
sing it one more time.
Thought that I'd be weak,
and welcome to the broadcast. This is yours truly, the Apostle V.W. Jones Sr., right here on the Proceeding Word. So glad, elated, excited, literally in joy that you and I are alive and well today to give and share the gospel of our Savior and his kingdom. We now take this opportunity, if you had not done it this morning, to make your life right in him. It's a simple yet complex process which brings about a change no matter who you are or where you are. And it's a matter of repentance. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, how long you did it. To die is not an option for you or for me. So I ask you now to take this opportunity to pray. Prayer you want to pray when you're trying to get your life and your heart right with the Father. The Bible declares in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Yahweh raised the Yeshua from the dead, you shall be saved. Of course, Yeshua then says, if you believe that, then you should believe my words I speak. And if you believe my words I speak, that means that you will keep my commandments. And when you keep my commandments, my Father, Yahweh, and I, Yeshua, Adonai, will come and sup with you. And when we come to sup with you, you will walk in grace. You will walk in the authority. You will walk in salvation. And these are the things that one must understand, embrace, comprehend, and look forward to. Salvation by any other name is not possible. Only the name of Yeshua HaMashiach can bring you salvation. And only he is the way to the Father. There are not many ways to the Father. I'm sorry, there are not. There's only one. The Bible declares in the Brit Hadasa, the New Testament, it states and makes very clear, I am, says Yeshua, HaMashiach, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There are no other ways to him on this planet. The interesting thing is that the Father then backs that statement up, and he says this very clearly. If you believe in me and you require me in your life as I desire of yours, Yahweh makes this statement, I will supply all of your need according to my riches in glory by the person Yahshua HaMashiach. And in this, you and I understand that there is no way to get out of our God the things we need for our life unless we come through his Son. This becomes our truth. His Son sets us free. His Son has created for us the truth. His Son has prepared for us the ransom that redeems us from the world of sin we once embraced, reveled in, indulged, and thoroughly engaged. Though the wage of sin is death, the gift of our Elohim is eternal life through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ to most. So today, as we prepare our hearts and our minds for a time of study, we want you to realize our subject matter will be dealing with walking in grace. That walk in grace is so significant to us because it puts us in what we consider to be a position to learn of him in the greatest of ways. It places us in the opportunity to experience what type of life has already been prepared for us. And that type of life that has been prepared for us grants us the ability to know his power for us and toward us. So today I want you to grab your telephones and get on the line and text your neighbor, your cousin, your brother, your auntie, your best of friend, and whomever else you need to. And as well, throw a rock across the lake to your neighbors across the cul-de-sac. Go across the hallway, past the elevator, knock on the door that you always get sugar from or you always get some alcohol from, and I mean rubbing alcohol, that is, and run over there to them and tell them, hey, the proceeding word is on the air, and let's get our minds and our hearts ready, because in truth and in real talk, you gonna learn today. Yep. We're going to learn what it means to walk in grace. All right, turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 91, as we prep our hearts and our minds to embrace this truth. We want to talk about how we walk in grace, what it looks like to walk in grace. We gave you some wonderful pointers and some dynamic hints of backdrop and define concerning walking in grace on our last broadcast. And if you go back to the date, which was prior to this, you'll see you can have that pulled up on your archives. But let us get into what the Word of the Most High says. He says in Psalms 91, a very familiar passage of the Holy Writ, from the portion of the Tanakh called the Psalms. Verse number 1 of the 91st division states, he that dwelleth, lives in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge, and he is my fortress. He is my God, and in him will I trust. Surely of a truth he shall deliver you from the snare, hallelujah, of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. I like this part because his truth about your situation shall be your shield from the works, the fiery darts, the wicked stones of the enemy, and it shall also be your buckler. You shall not be afraid, glory to Elohim, for the arrows or the terror by night, nor for the arrow. I'll reread verse 5 because I did not read it rightly. Verse 5 of Psalms 91 states, you shall not be afraid of the terror that comes by night, nor shall you be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. Not even for the pestilence, hallelujah, that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Look at this. This is wonderful. This is talking about how you walk in grace. These are some of the rewards and some of the benefits and some of the practical applications and the benefits of walk in grace. We'll bring some more defined in just a few moments. Verse number 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 shall fall at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Hallelujah. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made Yahweh, which is my refuge, even the Most High, the El Elyon, your habitation. See, when you have made Yahweh when you have given him the seat of authority in your life, you have made him your refuge. What does it mean to be in a refuge with El Elyon? What does it mean to deem him and consider him the Most High? Well, it's a very important piece that you're going to learn about today. Now, when we look at what he does in the writ, he makes it very clear that when you continue to give into his will for your life, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, he then makes it his responsibility to bring you in under his feathers. Under his wings shall you trust. Now, that is a significant piece of literature. What is a refuge? Well, let's talk about what a refuge is. A refuge, he says, is also my fortress. It is a shelter. It is a place you trust in. And so when we understand this, we better are comprehending what he does when he says, when you make him your refuge, you make him your fortress, your stronghold, you make him your castle, you make him your defense, you make him your strong place. You make him the net for what you desire to have hunted in righteousness. He becomes your fastness. He becomes your, if we can use the word castle, in a castle it's very difficult to overtake a castle because in him, because of him, and through him, and by him, you, hallelujah, are kept. That's the beauty of having Yahweh your Elohim and abiding in the shadow of El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the Almighty. And when you're in him, you are walking in grace. How do you walk in grace? Well, it's an interesting thing because people have talked about what grace is based on tradition of religion. And religion is best defined as a type of believing that is predicated on man's intellectual perception of some form of a religious idea. Now, I said religious, I should have said of some thing or system of faith that they believe in. Now, faith has to be better defined, but as Christians, as believers in the Messiah who hung on the cross, we believe in his word. And so religion is not what the Messiah came to endorse or came to enforce. However, he came to enforce, he came to endorse relationship with the Creator. He came to endorse, he came to enforce relationship with the engineer of the universe and the components he has made. He's come to endorse and or to enforce the area and element of relationship to what he has made, and then what he wants out of what he has made to do in the earth. So relationship and not religion is what he wants. See, because religion, you can lay religion down. Religion is a set of bylaws, an article of incorporation to some degree. It is a idea of a concept that we want to hopefully push forth, but we might not make it. Relationship is so much greater and so much more of a consistency of righteous manifestation in the arenas we all travel and operate in. So we set all of that in definition to give you the understanding that Yeshua did not come to establish religion. He came, however, to establish the reality that a relationship with the Messiah is what matters and is what the whole idea of salvation comes from. So when you think about your relationship, when you think about the need to know him, when you think about how to understand him, you begin to realize and embrace what we call salvation. Salvation comes from the Father. Oftentimes we call grace, thank you, Ruach HaKodesh, we call grace the unmerited favor, favor of Elohim. My question will always be, is that grace is? Because I've also read in the book of Romans, and I'm going to go there quickly if you have the time, and I think you should because you are with me on this broadcast, and we're going to go there. So I want you to really think about this as we prepare our hearts. In this, let's go to Romans chapter, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get my thoughts together here. Grace. Don't go anywhere. I'm just plugging in some items here in Romans. And I want us to really look at this because it's so important. One more second. Hold on. All right, let's go to five. Chapter five. Let's go to chapter five. Romans chapter five. Everybody, hurry up. Let's go. Let's look at what grace really does look like. I'm going to read quite a bit of this, so I want you to see where grace comes from, what the real meaning of grace is about, and what it means to walk in it. We have you in Psalms 91, so don't leave Psalms 91. We stopped at verse 8. We will return there. But let's read Romans chapter number 5. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read about 10 verses, 12 maybe, and we're going to see so you can have proper backdrop of what grace looks like. The Bible declares, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with Elohim through and because of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, by whom, of course, we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of Elohim. See, even right there, Paul is letting us know about another statement that Yahweh had made mention of to us, which said that I will supply in Ephesians all your need according to my riches in glory by Yeshua HaMashiach. But here in Romans, he is also telling the Jews in Rome, by whom we have access by faith, the word, into this power, this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope of the place of all our needs being met by Elohim's design. That's pretty much a very good interpretation of that one verse. So I'll reread verse 2 in Romans 5 again. By whom we also having access. Matter of fact, let's just read verse 1 again. Therefore, being justified by faith. What is faith? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of Elohim. Faith is what Elohim's word says about my situation, my belief in his word, that when I apply his word will not return to us void. Therefore, being justified, hallelujah, glory, I just got quickened in my soul, being justified by faith, we who actively pursue faith have peace. That word peace, as you know, is the word shalom. We have peace. Well, what is shalom? Shalom is we have completeness. Those of us who are justified by faith, we have fullness. Those of us who are justified by faith, we have harmony. Those of us who are justified by faith, we have health. Those of us who are justified by faith, we have peace. Those of us who are justified by faith, we have perfectness. Those of us who are justified by faith, we have prosperity. Those of us who are justified by faith, we have tranquility. Those of us who are justified by faith, we have tranquility. We have safety. We have soundness. We have rest. Those of us who are sanctified by faith and justified by faith, we have welfare of being. Those of us, hallelujah, way our Elohim, who are those of us who are justified by faith, we have wholeness. Will you be made whole? How are you made whole? By faith. Faith, you will allow it to operate in your life. Yahweh, through faith, will make you have peace, completeness, fullness, harmony, health, peace, perfectness, prosperity, tranquility, safety, soundness, rest, welfare of your being, and wholeness. That word peace there is the word in the Hebrew for shalom. So when you are justified by faith, he already knew your circumstances. He already knew the decisions you would make. And if he didn't kill you in it, that means he justified you. And when you come to him by the word, according to his instructions, when you seek restitution by the word, according to his word, his faith, he justifies you. He then gives you the shalom of our Elohim. I'm just sitting here getting so excited about these facts. I want to scream and jump for joy. I don't know who you are, where you are, but dear heart, if you will and if you find it within your soul to always function through faith, through the word of Elohim, he will give you shalom. Nah, not peace, like the waving of a white towel, not peace. The can't we all just get along, not that kind of peace. He will give you, that will be a byproduct. He will give you his 13 attributes we call shalom. Hallelujah. I sound excited because I'm quickening my spirit, man, right now while we're having this broadcast. I'm getting multiple downloads, and I'm going to try and stick to the course we have prescribed for today. Verse 5, we're still in Romans. Don't forget, we're still in Psalms 91 as well. For those of you who are just tuning in, I wish you would have called us as we started. You might have to go back and rewind this or catch the archive on this message for the benefits for why we are so excited at this juncture. But in Psalms 91 is where we were. We're going to go back there. Right now we're in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified, hallelujah. I'm sorry, I almost forgot I was on this line. Listen, we are justified by faith. You know what? I got a quick thing. I got to do this. I just feel quickened in my soul to do this. Go to Romans chapter 8. We'll come back to 4 in just a minute. Oh, my goodness. I feel the quickening of Ruach HaKodesh in my soul right here, right now. Go over to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to show you what it means to be justified, why justification is so important. And don't ever let yourself remove yourself from the reality that you are justified. Romans 8. Yeah, you know the passage. Let's go down to verse number 27. This is so good. Hallelujah. Look at what it says. We're going to talk about justification. I want you to hear this because this is where it gets good. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of Ruach, the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. How many of y'all need Yahweh to make intercession for you? How many of you need Yeshua HaMashiach to make intercession for you? Because there is just so much going on that if he don't become your intercession, if he doesn't become that which is divinely interpreting and divinely interceding on your behalf, you just don't know what you're going to do. I know it's true. He says, because he makes intercession for the saints and he does it according to the will of Elohim. Now, and because of that, verse 28 says, we know that all things, oh, my, everything you've encountered, you're going through, you're looking at, you're struggling with, you're frustrated over, you're elated over, you're saddened over, you're joyful over, everything, all things work together for good to them that love Elohim. Oh, if you love Elohim, you got to love your neighbor. You can't say you love Elohim and hate your neighbor. You can't say you love the God of your salvation and you can't stand the person sitting next to you in the pew. You can't say you love Elohim and walk around as if, you know, you are the meanest and most cantankerous person on the planet. That's not it. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love Elohim, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's why I tell you, know your calling, know your purpose, make your calling and your election sure, for if you do this, you will not fall. For whom, verse 29, for whom Elohim did foreknow. He knew you. He knew me before he put us in this pulchritude, before he put us in this body of flesh. He knew intimately our soulish man that he planted into this element, into this protoplasm called man, mankind. And before he put us in it, wrapped us up around it, he knew what his intentions were for our existence in the earthen realm. And so he says, all things now, them that love Elohim, them who made their calling and election sure, them who know their purpose for why they exist, he says, all things will work together for their good. All things, the sickness, that's right. The disappointment, that's right. The pain, the heartache, that's right. The loss of your child, the loss of your spouse, the loss of your mother, the loss of your sibling, the infirmities that you had to endure, the mental distress that you had to go through, the loss, anything that works, all things work together. The celebrations of your achievements, the success of your life, the degradation based on decisions, all things are working together for the good of them who love Elohim and have pushed to know their calling and their purpose. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All things, hallelujah, work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. So he knew you before he put you in this bodysuit. He also destined you. We say predestinate, which means we were predestined, to be conformed. That means that we had to actually shed the form we came in under to get to the form he intended and made us for. Watch this, verse 29 again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now this, if you think closely enough, connects us to Jeremiah 29 and 11. Jeremiah 29 and 11 states, for I, Yahweh, creator of heaven and earth and all that therein dwells, I, Yahweh, know my thoughts concerning you, thoughts of good and not of evil, thoughts to give you an expected end, meaning I have pre-set your destination. Now, you, as long as you seek me, will be able to walk in the grace of acquiring that destination. You, as long as you seek me, says Yahweh, the I am that I am, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your victories, when you seek me, I will help you end up where I have prescribed, predestined your very existence to be. And see, when we understand that, it would give us a need and it would make a desire in us to shun the world, myself included. It's a task that is daunting but doable. Shun the world and all that it seems to offer and hide your face in him. I was prostrate before the Lord on this morning in my tallit, and I began to see who I was and what my life was and where I come from and what I've been doing, what I had done, why I'd done it. And he began to say, I will clean you. I will keep you from you if you acknowledge me in all your way. And I said, Yahweh, you got me. And I've said that just about as many times as anybody can say it, but every day you must recommit and resubmit your mind, body, and soul to that very charge. We're talking about walking in grace in case anybody got conflicted or in case anybody is misinterpreting the subject matter that we have proposed to discuss on this day. So therefore, I want you to realize that Yahweh has already predestined, he has already prescribed great things for your life, but you'll never get them if you keep controlling your life. Don't do like I've done and many others like me have done. We thought we knew. We were where we needed to be, but he always, always, always has a different plan than what we think, because his thoughts are not like our thoughts, nor are his ways like our ways. More importantly, as far as the heavens are from the earth, so are his thoughts from ours. And until we begin to really embrace this with truth, we don't see his intention. So look at this. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow. Say he foreknew me. No, say it. Say he foreknew me. Go ahead. Yeah, see, because you start confessing this, he'll start coming down and talking to you right now. If you let him know you foreknew me, meaning you, Yahweh, predestined me, and where I'm at right now really is not where you wanted me to be, though you knew I would be here, even though I'm not where you designed me to be. So wherever you are in your life, yes, he knows where you are. He also knows how far you are from where he foreknew you to be. Oh, that's so good. This might not be for anybody on the broadcast. This may be just for me. So even though you are in a place that you think is acceptable and doable, and wherever you found yourself to be, whatever the reward or whatever the circumstance, whatever the results of your actions and the decisions where they have you, Yahweh knows just how far away from his predestined plan for your life you are. Though he knew and knows where you are, you've got to remember, when you walk in grace, he keeps you closer and in tune to your predestined place. We're talking about walking in grace. This is good stuff here. I hope that it's not over the heads of our viewers. I don't think it is. I think you're drinking this in like it was water to a person just walking through the desert. I think you think this is water to a person that just finished a 27-mile hike. I know it to be true. He says in verse 29 of Romans, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Watch this. More importantly, moreover, for those people that he did predestinate, and he predestinated every single soul on the planet, it's your choosing to let him direct your path that brings you to that place of destiny. So moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, proving again that every human being on the planet has been called by Elohim to be one of the ministries that are found in Ephesians. So every human being has been predestinated. Every human being based on predestination has been called to that destination. Therefore, you are all called to the work of ministry. Stop leaving it to leaders as we perceive them to be the only ones called to do a work of propagating his kingdom and seeing his flock in a position of forward progress. It becomes incumbent upon us all to live our lives according to the call that is predestined within us. So look at verse number 30. Moreover, Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he did call, them he also justified. Listen, hallelujah, to this next piece. To them that he's justified, he also glorified. Meaning that when you seek my plans for your life through my son, Yeshua HaMashiach, I will not only supply whatever you need to get you in and through the journey of destiny for your life before you expire in this realm, but I will also celebrate you. I will also glorify you. That's what it means to be glorified. It means to be provided for in every aspect and functionality of your life. He is saying, I have called you because I have predestined you to a place. I need you to get to that destiny because it's crucial on the people and the arena and the regions that you will affect. And when you have been predestined, it means you have been called. Make your calling and make your election sure. If you do this, you will not fall. The reason you will not fall is because my plan to glorify you will supply you with everything you need so that you don't have to use a bubble gum and a bobby pin and some scotch tape and some duct tape to actually rig a way, a tool, a place, a bridge, a walkway, a doorway. You'll actually have my provisions, which will give you the proper tool, the proper walkway, the proper doorway into a place of influence that people will not see you and the work you've done, but will see me through the work you've done, and they will then follow your coursing into a relationship with me that you apparently have. I feel Ruach HaKodesh in this place. You and I, we must understand our grace. You can't have grace without having faith. You can't have faith without having the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with Elohim. The word was Elohim, meaning the word is necessary for you to decode your destiny's position. And when we realize the significance of the word, which is Adonai in the Trinity, we understand how to see in the natural realm where we are to be for the glorifying of his kingdom. And people of the Most High, your circumstances, your failures, your successes, your achievements, your accolades, your disappointments mean nothing more than tools and fuel to get you to appreciate the journey that is for your destiny's fulfillment. I want to encourage you today to know that Yahweh has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter how many times you've messed up, where you've gone, where you've been. It matters that you get up, you shake off where you've been, you shake off what has come at you, and you allow yourself to be used of the Most High. And now we find ourselves back in Psalms chapter number 91, where it completely indicts that Yahweh is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God, in him will I trust. Do you not understand? He has a desire and a plan to see you through. He has a program designed for you to become greater than your mind and the figments of your imagination can ever concoct. He desires to see you walk no longer in the darkness. He desires to see you function no longer below the bar. He desires to see you actually activate everything that is for creative power in the earthen realm. You are, you have been designed, you are actually innately built, you are perfectly tweaked to fulfill the purpose he has desired in to be fulfilled. You have significance in your family. You have significance in your community. You have significance in the region. You have significance in your hemisphere. You have significance on this globe. You are not here by a mistake. You are not a mistake of a one-night stand. You are not the mistake of a prophylactic having gone bad. You are designed to be here in time because Yahweh has predestined you in time. Your pulchritude, your family lineage has nothing to do with the purpose for why Yahweh introduced you to the earthen realm. And when you and I acknowledge him in all our way, he, if we can get past our thinking, he, if we can get past our aspirations, he, we can get past our mindset. He, we can get past our preconceived ideals of what success looks like. He will direct our path. And his thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are not like our ways. What I'm saying, I know the Bible. I go to church, I do what God say do. Are we really doing what Elohim say do? So the point here is that to walk in grace means we've got to walk in faith. Comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. You and I must embrace. You and I must see. You and I must understand that the purpose for which, the purpose for why he has put you in the earth is so beyond your own ideology, so beyond your own desires, so beyond your own issues of success, that if we should ever allow ourselves to walk in the grace he has already set for us, we would see a life that the world would covet and clamor to become a part of. Not to latch on to us like parasites, but to come into their very own similar situation. This is how you evangelize the world. This is how you prop the gospel. This is how you help others lead or are guided to a relationship with the Messiah. There was a story of a great king whose name was Solomon. And Solomon, he was so glorifying of Yahweh, our Elohim, the God of his father David, the God of his forefathers Avram, Isaac, and Jacob, that Solomon, when he finally came into full authority in the kingdom, he was able to keep unified, to fulfill the work of the tabernacle being transformed into the temple that David had engineered. And when he had passed, left the architectural drawings with Solomon, that Solomon began to glorify Elohim, and he made a prayer. He says, Yahweh, you have given me carte blanche. You have asked me what I want of you. I'm telling you, I only want wisdom. Hallelujah. Hear me, Yahweh. I only want wisdom and understanding that I might guide and not damage your people, that I might guide and grant them understanding and wisdom of how to have relationship with you. Yahweh was so impressed. Please hear my prayer, Yahweh. He was so impressed with this, that what he began to do and what he had made to happen was he put Solomon's hand, the ability, and the mindset that he would also not only give him the wisdom that Solomon asked, but he would also give him the knowledge that he asked for and the understanding that came with that combination. But look at what Yahweh does. Glory to your name, Elohim. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. He gives Solomon, he says, because you did not ask me for the trinketries of life, you did not ask me for wealth, you did not ask me for fame, you did not ask me for quote-unquote global influence, you simply asked to be a good steward over my flock. I will give you the global fame. I will give you the finances that whatever you want to accomplish, you won't ever come close not accomplishing it. And he says to these words to him, he instructs him and informs him and lets him know that I will honor you, I will bless you, I will cause you to see, to understand, to comprehend all that is necessary in this season of your life. And this is what he does. And in doing this, he produces for Solomon, listen, a kingdom image that other nations around the kingdom of Israel, their kings and queens would hear about the merchants. because back then merchants went from nation to nation selling their commodities, selling the uniqueness of their nation to other nations. And when they would travel, the merchants would tell the other kingdoms, man, I just left this place in Israel, and this guy, this king, Solomon, man, he always talks about his God, Yahweh, our Elohim, and how his God, Yahweh, they only got one God. We got 5, 10, 12 gods. They only got one God. This one God, Yahweh, has blessed him. And, man, his security is tight work. You can't breach his nation. He's got allies all over. And if you talk about hurting Israel, some other nation will jump you. He's got wealth. The temple that they built to their God is huge. It's enormous. It's gold. It's beautiful. The uniformity of their organization is tight work. I mean, they are just one great place. There's no blight in the land. There's no disease in the land. There is no lack in the land. They have a commonwealth in their kingdom. And this King Solomon keeps giving this God, Yahweh, his Elohim, all the glory. He calls him the El Shaddai. He calls him the El Roi. Calls him the El Roi. He calls him the El Elyon. He calls him this God of Israel, this Solomon keeps glorifying. I don't know what more to say and what more to do, but these merchants would go and tell these stories after they left Israel. And one particular nation had a group of merchants come into it, and they were so vocal about what they experienced in Israel that it took the nation of Sheba by surprise. And the queen heard tell of the story of this man who allowed for Yahweh to guide him and direct him, and he kept the ways of his father David, and how the God of the father David was now the God of the son Solomon, and the God of this Solomon blessed beyond measure the kingdom of Israel. And Solomon never took the credit, but instead what he did was he told the nation, it is all Yahweh. He told the traveling diplomats, it was all Yahweh. He told all those who were emissaries from other places that it was Elohim, Yahweh, that has done all this work. So this king, whose name was Queen, she was actually the queen of Sheba. She left her nation, left it in the care of her council, and she went and traveled to the nation of Israel to see and learn about the God of Solomon. She came and asked Solomon hard questions about God, about faith, about government. And the Bible declares that when she, having met with Solomon, realized what took place, she then, this is so deep, this is so good, the Bible says when she saw the uniformity, she saw all the leaders in unison behind their king. When she saw the dress code immaculately kept, when she saw the people in the streets called common folk, all looking prosperous, when she saw the government and she saw the military and how they operated, the Bible says her breath, her body, it was so overwhelming, the unity of this nation, that the breath of another king almost left that king's body. Now, Apostle, what are you getting at? When you and I, in spite of our failures, Solomon had many, you and I have had many, in spite of that, when you give your heart, mind, body, and soul over to Yahweh to lead and to guide, he will place in you what it looks like for his people, and others will come wondering how they can attain the very same experience, the peace, the joy, the tranquility, the fullness, the harmony, the health, the perfectness, the tranquility, the safety, the soundness of mind, the rest, the welfare of being, and the wholeness. How do we get that? Solomon said it is all through Yahweh. We believe to this day, and history and archaeology have proven that whatever indelible marks Solomon left on the Queen of Sheba, Sheba we believe is in Ethiopia. It is Ethiopia. And when she went back to that land, the God of Solomon was now in the heart of that queen. And she began to share what she had learned and implement practical applications for the process of bringing Israel or bringing Ethiopia to the knowledge amongst their other gods of the God of Israel. We also believe that Ethiopia became converted to the God of Israel, not to Judaism. No, 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 no. There was no Judaism at the time. They came into the knowledge of Israel, the knowledge of the God, El Eloye Israel. So I'm asking Yahweh, as Solomon, give me wisdom and understanding for knowledge to guide your people into your word, because of your word, and through your word. And I believe that when Yahweh knows your heart is sincere for that, he will then add to you the other things. This is where you find the proper understanding of Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, listen, it is the word, the Torah. It is your acknowledging and accepting of Yahshua HaMashiach as Savior, who is the Word wrapped in flesh, that gives you the ability to walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. It is faith that you and I are justified through. And that faith requires the power or the grace of Yahweh to help you walk. Today, I pray you've learned. Today, I pray you embrace the truth of righteousness. This is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of the sinner, sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh. I want you today to know just how important it is to literally walk in the grace that is available to you through the person of Yeshua HaMashiach.
The Bible declares, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is. We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the Word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway, right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team and a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.